We begin the current daf Masechtas Yuma, daf Tezayin. We begin 6 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, as we had explained on the bottom of Amud Beis in the previous daf, that the Gemara introduces a different topic unrelated to our sugya in our Masechta. However, it was introduced because of its uniqueness. And that is, our Gemara had discussed on the previous daf regarding who is the Tana that talks about our entire Masechta. Essentially, Masechta Yuma is like one big Mishnah, because it talks about basically the order of what the Kohen Gadol did in preparation and going through towards the end of Yom Kippurim, his Seder HaYom. Now, on that, we had a contradiction between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in the different Masechta, and then even in this Masechta itself. And the Gemara ultimately said, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? By default, since we know that there's arguments and we have one person's opinion that's not like the Mishnah in that other Masechta, so we said it's Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzvah. That was a calculation, although we never heard clearly that he's the Tana of our Mishnah, but by default, since we know he also argues on that other Masechta, so he must be the Tana of our Mishnah. So similarly, the Gemara said there was a machlekes, it seems like a contradiction between the Mishnah Masechtas Talmud and the Mishnah Masechtas Midas regarding where a certain lishka, a certain chamber was in the Beis HaMikdash. And that the Gemara said, that's not a contradiction. It's actually a machlekes, and that is who is the Tana of the anonymous Tana that writes the Mishnayos Masechtas Midas. That is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakovi. Same type of idea that by default we say, since we know there's an argument, and we know this opinion is not like that other opinion, therefore we say that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is that Tana. Now that's where our Gemara begins, on this stuff, where the Gemara will illustrate, again, by according to calculations, that it must be the anonymous Tana of the Mishnah Masechtas Midas is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Again, not that it ever says clearly that he is, but through our calculations, by default, we'll end up with that opinion, again, similar to like the Cheshbon we had Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzvah, that although we never heard clearly that he's the Tana of our Mishnah, through our calculations, it comes out that he should be that Tana. So that's where our Gemara begins. So the Gemara says, like we learned the Mishnah, a Stam Mishnah, an anonymous Mishnah, Masechtas Midas, and we will prove this concept that this Tana of these Mishnayos and Midas must be Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So the Mishnah tells us that Ezes Nashim, the courtyard, which was where was called the Ezes Nashim, where the women would be over there, that was in the beginning part of the Azor, of the courtyard coming in from the eastern side into the Beis HaMikdash. So Haisa Ayrch, there was a length over there, which is from east to west, of Meya Ushleisha Mechamish, of 135 Amos, Al Reichiv, and it was on the, and it had a width, which is from the north to the south, of Meya Ushleisha Mechamish, also of 135 Amos. Now, of Arba L'Shachis, Hayu B'Dal Miktsoyisel, and there were 4 different chambers in the 4 corners of the Ezes Nashim. Umahayu Mishamshis, what was the utility of these 4 different rooms? So, Diremis Mizrachis, on the southeast, which was right when you would come in on the south, he hayso lishkes ha-nazirim. That was called the chamber of the nazirim. Shesham nazirim, because that's where the nazir. Nazir is someone that takes an oath not to drink wine and other halachas. That mevashlim eshlamehim, after they completed their naziris, they would cook their korban shlamim. Umegalchen siren, and then they would shave off their hair. Umeshalchen techas adud, and then they would throw their hair underneath the pot, which is, as the pasuk says in Bamidbar, that they should put it on the fire, which is underneath the pot, which is where their shlamim is cooking. And that was the on the southeast, which was again the Lishkas Nazir. Mizrach Tzefainis, on the northeast, he hoysa Lishkas, and the Girsa takes out the word deer, Lishkas Eitzim, that was the chamber of the wood. Shesham Kohanim, now in that chamber, that's where the Kohanim, that were Bali Mumin, which had blemishes that they couldn't do the actual Avaida, they were Imdim Umaslin Be'etzim, that's where they would stand and deworm, take out the worms from the wood. And the reason is, she called Eitz, Sheyesh Boi Telas, any piece of wood that has a worm inside of it is pasuk on mizbech, is invalid to be used for the mizbech, because they used to put on the maracha, they would put wood, which they would then light on fire and burn it, and that's where they would burn the karbonos on top. So that's what they would do, that work of deworming the firewood. It's fine as maravis. Then on the northwest, he hoysa lishkas ha-mitzurom. That was the chamber of the mitzurom, and that's explained in a later parak in this mesechta, that that's where the mitzurom, that someone has a nega, has tsaras, so on his 8th day, he would go ahead and immerse himself to be mitar himself, because that would be coming at a time when he would have to enter his hands to have the matanas of dam on his behinus. So although he had already immersed the night before, that day is where he would tevel on his 8th day. That was in that chamber, which was called the Lishkas HaMitzuron. And finally, the last one, Maravis Arayim, is on the southwest. So Amr Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, so Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Shechachti Mahis Meshameshes, I forgot what was the utility, what did they do in that chamber. Now, from there we could infer that the reisha, the beginning part of this Mishnah, which is the Stam Mishnah, Masechtas Midas, was Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov talking, because he's saying, now, we can't say what was the fourth chamber. He says, although this was anonymously stated, he's saying, I don't know what it is. And Abishol says, in that last chamber was where they would put the oil and the wine. That was called the chamber of the house of the oil. Now, again, so therefore we see that this anonymous Mishnah was Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov who comments at the end saying, I don't know what the last one is. So again, we see that Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and that makes sense to resolve the contradiction that we have between the Mishnah, Masechtas Tamid, and Masechtas Midas, is because that Masechtas Midas argues on Tamid because that's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So the Gemara continues on this and says, Hachanam Mistarba. It actually makes sense to say that Stam, an anonymous Mishnah, Masechtas Midas, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. That's like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Like we learned in the Mishnah, an anonymous Mishnah, Masechtas Midas, now, which ultimately, the Gemara is going to go through a long cheshbon, long calculation, but ultimately, it would only be possible to explain this Mishnah only according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and therefore, that will conclusively tell us that the anonymous Mishnah, the Mishnayis, or Masechtas Midas, is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and again, like the answer we gave before, that he's the one that argues on the Mishnah Masechtas Tamid. So the Mishnah tells us again, Masechtas Midas, that Kol HaKsalim Shehayusham, all the walls that were there in all the structures on the Har HaBayis, on the Temple Mount where the base of Mikdash was built on it, HaYigvayim, they were all very tall, very high walls, until that even the entryways itself of the walls, they all had a height of 20 amas. Besides that, on top of the entryway has a lot of the wall, which goes to a greater height. Chutz Mikais Mizrachi, there was one exception, that of the easternmost wall, which that was the first wall when you enter the Temple Mount, which on the bottom of the mountain, which from there you would enter into the Seirig and then enter into the Chel, which was in front of the Ezes Nashim, and then from the Chel you would go, after the Ezes Nashim, you would go into the Azar HaGadol, into the great courtyard. So that's the first wall where you entered coming on the eastward area of the Temple Mount. That wall was not so high. Now the reason was, Shakoyin HaSayr V'Sapar, because the Koyin that would burn the Par Aduma, Oymid Bahar Mishcha, he would do the Avodah not on the Beis HaMikdash, he would be standing on Har HaMishcha, which was Har HaZesim, which was on the eastern area facing Yerushalayim. Now, the Kayan's face, when he was doing this part of the Avodah, after they did the Shechit on the Paradum and throwing the blood, the Kayan would be facing westward towards the Beis HaMikdash, U'mechavin v'raya, and he would face himself and look from over the height of the eastern wall through the gateways that were in front of him, keneged pischa shel heichal, actually he would be able to see directly opposite the entryway of the sanctuary, b'shas hazar hazadam, at a time when he would be throwing the blood, which is part of the avodah, as the pasuk tells him by Midbar, v'hiza el neichach p'nei oil moed b'goyim, that when after he does the shechita and the paraduma, and he would throw the blood, he would do it facing the entryway of the oil moed. Now, the problem would be that if the wall of the eastern wall was higher as the other ones are, now although, and this is what we're taking for granted, and this is what it was, is that all the gateways were one directly opposite the other. And that is, you had the shahr, the gate of the Har HaBayis, was directly opposite the shahr, the gate of the Ezes Nashim. Now the gate of the Ezes Nashim was directly opposite the gate of the great Azara, the Azar Gedela. Now the gate of the Azara was directly opposite the opening of the Heichal. So you would be able to see directly through from one mountain to the other mountain, from Har HaZesim to Har HaBayis. You could see, if you're facing westward, you see from one through one doorway to the other doorway to the other doorway, all the way to the entryway of the Heichal. That's where he would be looking when he'd be throwing. Now the only problem is, if the eastern wall, that of the beginning of the Har HaBayis, was tall, then they wouldn't be able to see through the opening towards the opening of the Heichal, through all the openings, because the mountain, as mountains are, keeps on getting, it has an incline, it's going higher and higher and higher, until it comes out that the floor of the opening of where the Heichal is, where the structure, the main structure of the Beis HaMikdash is, was more than 20 amas higher than the ground of where of the bottom of Har HaBayis was. So it comes out that the base of the Heichal is higher than the top of the opening of the Har HaBayis. And therefore, you wouldn't be able to see through the opening of the first opening, of the first shahr, that of the wall of the Har HaBayis, through to see the opening of the Heichal through that opening. And that is because all the openings only had a height of 20 amas. So if the wall would be high, you wouldn't be able to see through all the other ones. Although the mountain keeps on getting higher, you could see through on some level from one shard to the other shard to the other shard through to the Pesach, the Heichal. But regarding the first Pesach, that is, the height of the Pesach is beneath where even the opening of the Heichal begins, because it's so low down on the mountain that even though the opening has a height of 20 amos, it's still going to be below. And therefore, we couldn't see through the Pesach. Rather, we had to see over the Pesach of the wall that's by the eastern front of the beginning of the foot of the mountain. And over that, then we could see through all the other sha'arim into the Pesach Heichal, which was the halacha that the Pasuk is telling us, that he has to be able to see the Pesach Heichal when he's throwing the blood on Har HaZeisim. Utnan. And similarly, we learned, related to this, we learned the Mishnah Masechtas Midas. Now, all these Tanans that the Gemara is quoting over here, is saying, Tanan, we learned this Mishnah, and we learned this, which the Gemara is going to quote, are only to illustrate this idea that this halacha that the Mishnah is telling us, this Stam Mishnah that we just quoted, that you had to see over the eastern wall, and that's where it had to be lower, because you wouldn't be able to see through its opening, because it's even below where the opening of the Heichal actually begins, would only come out according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion. And that's how we demonstrate that obviously the Stam Mishnah is going like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, as the Gemara will demonstrate now, because according to the other opinions of the Rabbanan, you would be able to see through even the Shar of the Pesach of the Har HaBayis, which is on the bottom, you'd be able to see through it all the way to the Pesach of the Heichal, must be the one that says you cannot, and you would have to see over it, is going like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So as the Gemara illustrates this. So it says in the Mishnah Masechtas Midas, Kol HaPesachim Shehayisham, all the openings of the gateways that were there, Goivan Esrim Amas, as we said before, they had a height of 20 Amas, V'reichvan Esrim Amas, and they had a width of 10 Amas. Now, since there's a height of 20 Amas, you wouldn't be able to see through because of the height of going through. Now, however, the Gemara is saying that according to the Pinyin Rabbanan, it would not be closed up totally, as the Gemara continues demonstrating this. Because if not, we learned in the Mishnah over there, Masechtas Midas, it says, Lefnim Mimenu, within the area of where we said from the eastern wall, which is the beginning of our ascent, going into the wall that's there by the beginning of Har HaBayis, so we're going to go westward up from the beginning, and that's what the Mishnah is going to be illustrating. So if you go within there, you reach the Sarig. Now the Sarig was from within, again, as we said, the eastern wall, and this was a type of a partition that was made with holes, like some type of lattice work, and that is like certain types of beds that were made out of ropes, which basically there was this crisscross, so it's called alachsin, so it has these holes, you go with these X's, that was a sarig, it was some form of a mechitza that was there. That was the first thing you encounter after you pass by the eastern wall. Now it's not, and we learned further there over in Masechtas Midas, that lefnim mimenu, within from the area of the sarig, was hachel, was the area called hachel, which is Esther Amos, which was 10 Amos, which were empty, there was nothing in there. Ushtem Estri Mailas Hashem. However, there were 12 steps that was there in the Chel, which was within the area of those 10 Amos. And that's because the mountain elevated from the area of the Sirig until the Ezris Nashim, which is what the area of the Chel was, which contained those steps, it had these 12 steps. Now, what height was that? So Roim Mala, the height of every single step, was Chatziyam, was a half a Amma, which ultimately what that means is that the ground of the Ezes Nashim had an elevation of 6 Amas. Vishilcha, and the width of every step, was Chatziyam, was a half a Amma. Now this, the length of it was along the entire width of the mountain, from the north to the south. These were the steps going up to the Ezes Nashim from the Sarig, which was through the area of the Chel. Now, the Mishnah continues telling us, so far we have an elevation of 6 Amas. Then, Tesvav Mailas Oilois Mitoicha, there were 15 steps going up from the Ezes Nashim, which was Hayardis Me'ezes Yisrael, Ezes Nashim, which these 15 steps were the steps that one would go down from, the Ezes Yisrael, which was past the Ezes Nashim westward, that one would take going down to the Ezes Nashim, which basically means is that we have the ground of the Ezes Yisrael that was higher than the Ezes Nashim. Now, what was that height? That was Reim Mala, the height of every step, was Chatzi Amma, was a half Amma. Vishulcha, and its width, was a Chatzi Amma, was a half of Amma, which means that there was seven half amas, because if you take 15 times a half, you come out to seven half amas. So it comes out, so far we have a height of 13 and a half amas from the ground of the bottom of the foot of the Har HaBayis, which none. And we continue learning in Mishnah Masechtas Midas that says, Bein Ha'ulam Vel Mizbeach, between the antechamber, which is basically the beginning of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash itself, and the Mizbeach, which was eastward of it, was Chaf Beis Amah, was 22 amas. Ushteim Esri Mailas HaYisham, and in that area there were 12 steps, and Roim Maila Chatzi Amah, the height of every step was a half amah, which 12 times a half again makes that there's an additional height of 6 amas. V'shulcha Chatzi Amah, and the width was a half amah. So according to the calculations, it comes out, if we're right now by the entryway of the Heichel, and we start off on the bottom of the foot of the mountain, it comes out that the height of the ground of the Heichel, more than the ground of the bottom of Har HaBayis, the Temple Mount, was 19 and a half amas. As we said, there was 6 plus 7 and a half plus 6. That makes 19 and a half. There is still left over from the bottom entryway, a half a amma, the top half a amma of the bottom entryway, which is on the foot of the mountain, that you could still see through the bottom half a amma of the opening of the Heichel. And therefore, according to the Rabbanan, you would be able to see through the opening of, you wouldn't have to see over the eastern wall, you could actually see through that last half at the top of that entryway. The last half of Amah, if you're looking straight through, which all the entryways are, you could see through the bottom, you could see through the top, you'll be able to see the bottom of the half of Amah of the Heichel. So, however, with Tanan, but we did learn over the Masechtas Midas, that the Belozim and Yaakov Omer, however, Belozim and Yaakov tells us that Mailohi Sasham, there was another step that no one mentioned yet. There was a step that was built over there, that V'gavaya Amma, that had a height, in other words, in the Ezra's Yisrael, between that and the Ezra's Kayanim, had this extra step that was an Amma high, which went along the width of the entire Azara, the length of this step. V'duchen, and the platform, which was where the Levim would go, they would go ala duchen, was Nosnele, was built on top of this Maila. Uvai Sholesh Maila Shel Chatzi Amma. And now there were three steps of a half a amma each, which is through these steps, that's how they would get up to the duchan. And therefore it comes out that there was an amma and a half of a height over there. So it comes out we have a total of more than 20, and we have 20 and a half amas higher than the ground that there is from the, because according to Rabbi Lizman Yaakov, there's an additional height over here that of this Maila that takes for sure another Amma higher than what was the calculation of the Rabbanan. So it's not 19 and a half, but at least 20 and a half, that where the ground from the bottom of the mountain to where the bottom of the Heichel is starting. And therefore, the Gemara concludes as follows. If you're going to say that the Stam Mishnah that we learned in the Masechtas Midas that tells us that the eastern wall had to be lower down so that you could see above that wall, then to see through the gate of the Ezes Nostrum and the Ezes Israel to then see the opening of the space of the Heichel. So then, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that would make sense to say that that's going contra Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because he held that there was another step there that would make the height of the bottom of the Heichel from the ground of the bottom of the mountain would be a height of 20 and a half amas, and therefore you wouldn't be able to see through the opening of the bottom because that takes you only up to 20 amas. But the ground doesn't even start yet of the opening of the Heichel until at least 20 and a half amas. So you would have to see not through it, but rather over it, because Hainu de Ichsele Pichsa, that would be, according to this calculation, that the lower Pesach would be covered by the height of the ground of the Heichel. Eliyam Drabanon. But if you say that the opinion of the Mishnais and Masechtas Midas go according to the Rabbanon, but as we just calculated before, the height only takes you up to 19 and a half amas, ho'ika palgad amas, there's still an extra half a amma, the mischazile pischa begave, that you could still see for the kohen that's standing in Harazesim, he could still see that bottom half a tefach of the opening of the Heichel, which is what he has to see, the Pesach Heichel, through the top half of Tefach of the opening of the Har HaBayis, and you can see through all the gates, which are directly aligned, one after another. Rather, the Gemara says what we could conclude from here is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the Tana, the anonymous Tana of the Mishnah, Maseches Midas, are Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and that's how our Gemara had answered before the contradiction between Maseches Midas and Maseches Tamid, is because that's a Machlekes, and that is like Midas is going like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, which is similar to the Arsuga on the previous stuff of Rabbi Shimon Nishal Mitzvah that we said we concluded regarding the contradictions. That the Meseder of Yuma is a different Seder than the Tana of Maseches Tamid because it's going like Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzvah again, although it doesn't say clearly, but conclusively we have to say that based on our calculations, that's where the Tana of the Mishnah is. However, the Gemara says Rav Adar Bar Ava Amar, he says it's not necessarily the case. This has not conclusively proven that the anonymous Tana of the Mishnah is Maseches Midas is going like a blessed Yaakov because HaMani. Who is the Tana that tells us in that Mishnah Maseches Midas that the eastern wall had to be lower so that we could see over it, not through it? Rabbi Yehuda, it's going like Rabbi Yehuda, that he says a different opinion which requires this halacha of the lower eastern wall. Because he says that the Mizbeach was in the middle of the courtyard, which was directly opposite, it was in the area as an obstruction, so to speak, in this regard, in the area of where all the gates were lined up one after another if one was going from east towards west. Now, it'll come out, according to this calculation, that the height of the Mizbeach will be blocking the bottom part of the Pesach of the Heichel for the Kohen that's standing on the Har HaZeisim to be able to see through. And the reason is because, as we had described before, there's an elevation of the ground of the Eretz Yisrael from the lower ground, a height of 13 and a half amis before it actually reaches where the beginning of the Mizbeach starts. From that floor of 13 and a half, you have the Mizbeach that has a height of 9. Now that makes it into 22 and a half amis of a height, which is directly in the way of where the Pesach HaEichel is. And therefore, if you'd be looking through the opening of the bottom from the eastern wall, which is from the beginning of Har HaBayis, you could see up to a height of 20. But there's still that 2.5 amas of the Mizbeach that are blocking your vision of being able to see the opening of the Heichel. And therefore, even if it's not like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and it's like the Rabbanan, and therefore you would think maybe there's the extra half a amma, you can't, because although that really would be there, but the Mizbeach is blocking that. The time like learning the Braisa. Pyuda says, HaMizbeach memutza va'oimid be'emtzazah. The Mizbeach was smack in the middle of the courtyard. And it had an area of 32 amas, and that is if one is going from, we're talking about the calculations of from north to south. We continue on to Amud Beis. Eser amas, 10 of those amas, which we're talking about the middle 10 amas of the width of the Mizbeach, again, as we're talking about the width of the Azar, we're talking about from north to south. One comes in east to west. However, we're talking about the calculations of what it blocks in regards to the area of the from the north to south. So regarding the middle 10 amas were connected Pesach Shel Heichel. The opening, the width of the opening of the Heichel itself was 10 amas. Now, so if it's 32, you take away 10, which is the middle blocking smack in the middle of the opening of the Heichel, so then you have a remainder of 22. So Yudalf Amal itself, and you have 11 amas to the northern side, which is that although the entryway of the Heichel was 10 amas, but the area within the Heichel had an area in the width of 20 amas. So an extra 5 amas were regards to the open space that's within the Heichel itself, as we said, because the Heichel itself in the inside had a width of 20 amas. And then the extra 6 amas went according to the width of the northern wall of the Heichel, which in its totality the Mizbeach was actually literally against the Heichel, because the Heichel itself took up that amount of space that the Mizbeach did. Although, again, the entryway was 10, so the middle Mizbeach was 10, but then the inner area of the Heichel was another 10 amas, 5 on this side, 5 on that side. So it continued another 5. We have 6 left over, which the walls of the Heichel itself were 6 amas, and therefore that's where the Mizbeach ended. On the northern side, it took up till the end of the walls of the Heichel. And similarly, B'yudal of Amaladarm, the extra 11 out of that remainder of the 22 was on the south side, the same type of a cheshbon that it had an extra 5 for the area of within of the Heichel, beyond what the entryway allowed, and then another 6 for the walls of the Heichel. So Nimtza, it comes out that the width of the Mizbeach was exacting Keneged Heichel v'Kesalav, opposite the Heichel and its walls. Again, as we made that cheshbon, that it comes out it was exactly. Now, therefore, that's why we needed a lower eastern wall. Not because of the Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, but rather because, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that this is blocking, the Mizbeach is blocking. And hence we couldn't see through. We could see over. If you're looking over, so then you could, the other gates were still higher because of the elevations that they were. So we could see over the eastern wall, because now we're saying it's lower, and over the Mizbeach, and then we'd be able to see the entryway of the Heichel, but not because of the pin, Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. However, the Gemara refutes this refutation. The Gemara says it cannot be that the non-Mishnah Masechtas Midas was Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, it must be like we had inferred before, that it's Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. How so? As the Gemara tells us, V'isogadai techmidas Rabbi Yehuda hi, if you would entertain to say, which the Gemara is asking a question now on Rav Ada, who wanted to say that, no, the Mishnah could be like Rabbi Yehuda. So in that, the Gemara says that if you would entertain that the Stam Mishnah's Masechtas Midas are Rabbi Yehuda, that Mizbeach be'emtza zah, that the Mizbeach was in the middle of the courtyard itself. So therefore, can you say that the Stam Tana of Masechtas Midas, who we don't know who it is, who we're trying to author it, Mimishkachasle, can you say that that Tana would hold like Rabbi Yehuda, who we're trying to say that is who the Tana is, that holds the Mizbeach, is in the middle of the Azara? But Vatnan, we learned over there in the Mishnah Masechtas Midas, again, part of this anonymous block of Mishnayas, which we're going to demonstrate that Tana, who we're quoting a halach from him, cannot hold like Rabbi Yehuda, for it to be Rabbi Yehuda, that the Mizbeach was in the middle of the Azara. Rather, it must be Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. Because the Mishnah tells us, Kol HaZar, the entire area of the greater Azara, in other words, there was what's called Azara, which is the Ezus Nashim, but then there was the Azara, the courtyard, which contained everything within it, was a length of 187 amas long. And now in that hekvin, that entire area was where the Beis HaMikdash was built, on the western part, and then on the eastern part you had the courtyard and you had the Mizbeach. On a width of 135 amas. And now the Mishnah illustrates exactly this, the specifics of this. Min HaMizrach L'mayav, as we said before, from east to west, which is what the length was 187 amas long. Now, part of that was Malkum Drisus Ragali Yisrael Yudav Amah. You had the space of where the feet of the non-Kahanim were able to go, which was an area of 11 amas. Then you had Malkum Drisus Ragali HaKahanim Yudav Amah. You had the space of where the Kahanim were able to go, which was an additional 11 amas. Then continuing along westward, Mizbeach Shleisha Mishnayim, you had the area of the Mizbeach, which took up 32 amas. Then Bein Ha'ulam L'Mizbeach, continuing along from between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, the antechamber, which is the entryway of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Heichel, was Es Mishnayim. That space was 22 amas. Continuing westward, V'Heichel Kafam, and the Heichel itself, the sanctuary was 100 amas. And then the Yodal of Amma, then you have the 11 Amma, which was an open space, Achari Besekaparis, which was behind the area of the Kachi Kachim, which was between the wall of the Ta, which was this chamber that was behind the Kachi Kachim and the wall of the Azara. And that was 11 Ammas. And then you have that was an illustration of this 187 Ammas in the length. Now the Gemara describes the width. Min Hadarm Letzafen, from the south to the north, you had Me'ev Shleshim V'Chamash. As we said, you had 135 amas in the width. And to the specifics of this were V'Hakevesh and the ramp. Now, right now the Tana doesn't tell us about the open space, which you had to have room to get onto the ramp, between the southern wall of the Azara, because we're starting from the south over here, and the ramp. And by the Seif of the Mishnah will tell us that how that fits and what was the measurements over there. But right now we're starting from the southern part of the Azara in regards to where the ramp was. So the ramp and the Vahamizbech and the Mizbech together were Shisha Mishnayim, were an area of 62 Amas. Again, we're going on from south to north, we're going on the length of the Mizbech, which was perpendicular to the length of the Azara. Then continuing northern to the northern area, min Mizbech will Tabois Ches Amas. Then from the Mizbech to the rings, which we're going to describe shortly, was an area of 8 Amas. And Mokum HaTabois, the space of the rings themselves, were Esama Arba, were an area of 24 amas. Now the rings were stuck into the ground, which was in the area called the Beis Mitzchayim, which was where the slaughtering of the Karbanis took place in the northern part of the Mizbeach, which they would put the necks of the animals there when they would be slaughtering the kachet kachem, the most sanctified karbanos, which their slaughtering had to be done in the northern part. These rings held them down so that the shechita should be able to be done properly. That was what the rings were, and therefore between the mizbech and the rings were 8 amas, and then the rings themselves took up an area of 24 amas. So continuing northernward, from the rings to the tables were 4 amas. Now these tables were where they would clean the intestines of the kachem, of the karbanos, on those tables. Min ha-shulchanis l'nanosin, then from the tables to the nanosin were arba, were 4 amas. Now what nanosin are, literally it means dwarfs. But it meant there was these small little poles that were stuck into the ground, and they had these metal hooks that were on the top of these poles that they would hang the animals from them to skin them, which was part of the avodah. That's what they had these nanosin for. So from the tables to the nanosin were 4 amas. Min hananosin lekaisel azara were ches amas, and then from these small little poles to the northern wall of the azara was 8 amas. Now, v'hamayser, and the leftover, in other words, from the calculation of these 135 amas that we didn't count all of them yet. Now, parenthetically, Rashi tells us that the area of the tables themselves, the Mishnah didn't have to explain to us their width, because that's explicit in Sefer Yecheskel, where it tells us that it's an area of at least 4 amas. Now, the remainder of that, which was left over from all these different things that we did tell you, then we split that remainder up. Half to the south, which is Ben HaKevesh Lokai, so that goes to the area between the ramp and the southern wall of the Azara. Umokam Hananasin, the other half, goes to the area of the poles themselves that we didn't say how much space they take up. Now, the Gemara concludes, V'isal g'day dich midas Rabbi Yehuda hi, if you would entertain to say that as the Gemara wanted to be daicha and say, oh, it's not necessarily Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that you couldn't see, it was not because of the extra step that he puts in over there. Rather, it's like drabanan. So although it's only 9.5, but the mizbeach was right in the middle, and that bothered that we couldn't see through. And that's what we had to see over. But if you want to say he's the stam tana in Masechtas Midas, but mizbeach be'emtza azar mimishkachas lei, according to the calculations of this other Mishnah Masechtas Midas, is it possible to say that the mizbeach was in the middle of the azar? But v'haru b'dem mizbeach b'darm koi, it comes out according to our calculations that mizbeach was the majority of it was in the south, and therefore couldn't have been smack in the middle of the Azara. Therefore, that's what the Gemara is going to conclude. It must be that it couldn't be Rabbi Huda. As Rashi goes through the Cheshbon, says, according to the calculations that we made, comes out that half the width of the Azara was 67.5 amas. That's the half of the 135 of the width of the courtyard. Now, if you start the subtracting from the northern wall going towards the south, we'll see how we have to continuously keep on pushing back of where the area of the Mizbeach was, and must be it was the majority in the south and not in the middle. And that's because if you go from the northern wall to the Nanosin, to those small little poles, we said that was an area of 8 amas. Then from the poles to the tables was also an area of 4 amas. That comes out to so far 12 amas. Then the area of the tables, as we said, the 4 tables that were there was an area of 4 amas, because you had the tables one next to another, which was a total of 8 tables, but they were one side by side. So you had 2 rows of 4, as the Mishnah tells them, Sechtes Shkalim, that they would put 4 by 4. So it comes out that you had them together by the width. So that took up an area of 4 amas, as we said, that's brought down in Sefer Yecheskel. So far we have 16 amas marching forward from north to south. Now, from there to the rings themselves were 4 amas. That's 20 amas. The area of the rings themselves were 24 amas. So it comes out 20 plus 24, we're by 44 amas already. Now, from the rings to the Mizbeach were 8 amas, as the Mishnah described. So that's already 52 amas. Now, the area of the rings themselves, as we had described, which was from the leftover that only the Sefer of the Mishnah told us, was 10.5 amas. Because that's the half of the leftover that remained that the Mishnah didn't count. And the reason is because the Mishnah had only counted 110 amas, which was from the ramp towards the north, which we said left over from what the width of the Azara actually was, which was 135 amas, was 25. But then, as we had mentioned, that the Mishnah didn't either tell us the space of the tables, which we said because it didn't have to tell us because the Sefer Yecheskel tells us, so that was 4 amas. So 25 minus 4, we're left with 21 amas that wasn't told us where that goes. On that, the Mishnah tells us that you split them up between the area of the poles, and between the area, half goes to the area between the ramp and the southern wall. So it comes out that from the Mizbeach towards the north was 62.5 amas. Now, if you put the five northernmost amas of the Mizbeach in that cheshbin of the 62.5 amas, so it comes out that half of the width of the Azara, which is 67.5 amas, which is because since we already have 62.5 amas, as we described before, you even get to the Mizbeach. So the Mizbeach is after that. Now, so if you take five of the northernmost amas of the Mizbeach, you have the 67.5 amas, which we said that is the midpoint from north to south. So it comes out that 27 amas from the south to from the southernmost part of the Mizbeach, because we said it's 32 amas. So if you subtract five, because we said five is in the northern part, so it comes out that the 27 amas of the southern part of the Mizbeach, it ends in the southernmost part of the Azara. So it comes out that the northern part of the Mizbeach ends by the end of the northern part of the entryway of the that's by the opening of the Heichel. In other words, as we said, that the opening of the Heichel was in the middle of the Azar. So that's an opening of 10 amas. So there's 5 amas of the Mizbeach that's jutting out into the northern part of the Azar, which will then be covering the opening of the Heichel. Not the Heichel itself, because the Heichel itself extends for another 5 amas, but the opening of the Heichel will be blocked with this cheshbin of the Mizbeach. However, it will not be blocking, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the area of seeing through into the Heichel. Why is that? Because you have to subtract from the area of the Mizbeach 2 amas. Because although the Mizbeach was 32 amas, it didn't all have the height of the Mizbeach. And that's because there was an area of the Yesod, the foundation of the Mizbeach, which was only an amah on the bottom, which would then come inward. And then you had the Saiviv, which was higher, which also came inward another amah. So it comes out that the northern part of the opening of the Pesach of the Heichel was revealed above the where it indents the area of the Yesod and the Saiviv of 2 amas. Therefore, the Kohen that's on the top of the Har HaZeisim, Har Mishka, who is doing the Avodah of the Paraduma, he could see through those 2 amas to see the opening of the Heichel through the bottom part of the opening. And therefore, were we to say that the Tana of the Mishnah Masechtas Midas is not Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, but rather it's Rabbi Yehuda. However, we said according to Rabbi Yehuda, it comes out that it's, according to the Cheshbon that we said it cannot be Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, we said it's in the middle. However, according to the calculation that we said, it's going to come out that it's more in the southern part, not in the middle. And therefore, if it's not Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, but rather like the Rabban, again, it can't be Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda said it's in the middle. And based on the Cheshbonis, we said we keep on pushing back all these different things, Nanos and Shulchanis, all these different things, comes out it's not in the middle. The majority of it actually, according to whoever this Tana is, can't be Rabbi Yehuda, holds that it's majority in the south, because Rabbi Yehuda holds in the middle. Now, were we to say it's like the Rabbanan, you could still see through, although the Mizbeach itself goes 5 amas beyond the middle, which the middle of the Azar is the middle of the opening of the Heichel. Now, there's another 5 amas of the Mizbeach that goes into the northern part, which would then fully block, because the entryway is 10 amas, and if the middle is 5, if it juts another 5, it totally blocks the opening of the Heichel. Even according to the Stam Mishnah Masechtas Midas, the Mizbeach would block it. However, it wouldn't, as we said, because you still have to consider the indentation of the Ami Yisrael and Ami Seiv, which opens up 2 of the northernmost amas that you could see through, again, because there's a height of 19.5, the height of the ground is only 19.5 amas according to the Rabbanan, if we're not going like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Therefore, you could still see through, you wouldn't have to make the eastern wall low, if it wasn't Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you could still see through the top half of amma to the half of bottom amma of the Heichel through the northernmost part, because the Mizbeach is open over there. Now, if you're going to say that the height of the 6 amas, which that's where the indentation of the Saiviv is, although it's indented, but it's only with a height of 6 amas, once it reaches a height of 6 amas, only then it indents, so it would still be blocking the lower part of the Heichel, and that Rashi says it's not the case, because the ground of the Azara is not higher than the ground of the Har Bayis, it's only 13.5 amas higher. So therefore, the added 6 amas of the height of the Saiviv would only take us to 19.5. And again, we would still retain that half a amma of the height of the lower wall, of the eastern wall, which would take us to that bottom half of the opening of the Heichel. And therefore, L'chaira, our Mishnah, the Stam Mishnah Maseches Midas, that's saying you have to see over the eastern wall, cannot be like Rabbi Yehuda, because there's another Mishnah that we just quoted with the calculations that has the Mizbeach, according to the Stam Mishnah Maseches Midas, majority of it in the south, not like Rabbi Yehuda says in the middle. And it can't be the Rabban either, because even according to that calculation, that the Mizbeach seems to be covering the Heichal, even if the majority is in the south, but there's still that little space in the northern part, if we're going from south to north, with the Mizbeach coming there, it still leaves us that Am Yisrael, Am HaSeiv, above that area, that we could see through those two Amas, with through the bottom half of the Heichal's opening, with the top half of the Har HaBayis' opening, you could still see through, you wouldn't have to see over. And therefore, we continue on top of Yitzayin Med Aleph, Elulav, rather the Gemara concludes, as we have said before, Shmamino, we could hear from this, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakovi, Shmamino. Must be the Stam Mishnah Masechtas Midas, is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakovi, and that's why, as we had resolved in the previous stuff, that's why he argues on the Mishnah in Masechtas Tamid, because it's a different opinion, it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakovi, and that's why we said through that extra step that was there, the opening was covered, and that's why you have to see over the wall, not because of the Mizbeach, because rather we had actually learned, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, which is quoted on later on, Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, that he holds the entire Mizbeach was in the south, and therefore you have the whole other half of the opening that's uncovered. In other words, if we have the Mizbeach, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it only ends actually in the half of the Azara, the half of the Heichal, so the Heichal is 10 Amos wide, you have the other 5 Amos totally open that you could see through, must be because you couldn't see through, you have to see over because of the height that he had, because of the extra step that was there. Now, based on this, Rashi has two questions. He says, if that's the case, then how can you say this Stam Mishnah Masechtas Midas is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? But we had just mentioned on this daf that based on the Stam Mishnah Masechtas Midas, according to the calculations, that the Mizbeach does enter at least 5 Amas into, possibly 7 Amas into the northern area of where the Azara. But you just said before, which is going to be quoted on later in Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that it stops at the midpoint of that, so it doesn't go anything into the northern part. But the Stam, whoever the Stam Tanna Masechtas Midas tells us, according to our calculations that we said, it does go some of it into the northern part. So how could the Stam Mishnah be? How could the Stam Tanna be Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? So Rashi says, what you have to say is that the 25 Amos that we said that was excess, that we had not designated where that area goes in the width of the Azara, then it must be, he says, that there's a reconfiguration now, according to the conclusion that it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Must be that between the ramp of the Mizbeach and the southern wall was only 5.5 Amas. Now, the ramp and the Mizbeach together was 62 Amas. So it comes out that the Mizbeach was entirely in the southern area, because you take that, it's within the 67.5 Amas of the southern side. Now, therefore, it comes out that the area is, even according to the Cheshbon of that Stam Tana, is the total, in other words, it's only in the southern part, and you have that extra 5 Amas open. Now, the excess of that was entirely by the area of the Nanasin of the pole. So we said, although we said originally that half went to here and half went here, 11.5 here, 11.5 here, Rashi's saying, no, it really was only 5.5 here, and then you had the remainder that went to the area of the Nanasin of those poles. But then Rashi asks, based on that, what I had to say, comes out that the Tana was not precise when he said half went here, because if we had 11.5 here, 11.5 here, that would push the Mizbeach, as we had calculated originally, that it's, part of it's going into the northern side, but if it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he holds it ends at the midpoint. So Rashi's asking, if it wasn't precise, and therefore you could calculate and reconfigure however you want to what was then the redistribution of those remainder of the 25 Amos, but then he says, then you could resolve and say the Tana of the Mishnah Masechtas Midas is even like Rabbi Yehuda. And you could say that the Mizbeach was in the middle of Azara. How so? If you take 21.5 of those Amos, of the remainder of the 25 Amos, and you put it between the ramp and the southern wall, comes out that the ramp is 30.5 Amos, the Mizbeach is 16 Amos. Comes out that the middle of Mizbeach is at the end of the 67.5 Amos, which is in the middle of Azara. So then, therefore, you could even say it's like Rabbi Yehuda. That Rashi says you can't say that because according to that calculation, the area of the tables and the poles, those dwarf poles, would only be in the area of 3.5 Amos. It doesn't make sense that they would leave such open area and then squash together these tables and the poles in such a tight space of 3.5 amas, and therefore it doesn't make sense logically that it would be like Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why, again, although we're reconfiguring about what was the distribution of this leftover 25 amas between the Nasan and between the area of the ramp and the southern wall, however, that would only make sense according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would not make sense. And again, therefore, that is the conclusion that it must be the Stam Tanim, the Sechtes Midas, is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov.